So this morning we're starting a new series. Last month we did a series on temptation. We spent quite a bit of time looking through that. And for last month, it was just something that was in my heart, so that from a practical perspective, we know how to deal with temptation. And I think we did quite a good job with that. So if anybody's experiencing temptation, they know how to deal with it. This month, we're looking at something I've called making the most out of your life. Mr. Producer, can you just put the main one, just so that we can go in the same flow. Making the most, just the heading, making the most out of life. Now, why, one thing that I've been thinking about a lot of recent, I used to think about it before, but more so of recent, is about life, about how we live our lives, and about the fact that life goes by so quickly. Now, if we're not deliberate and we're not intentional, you wake up and you're 30. You wake up and you're 40. And you wake up and you're 50. They're saying I should count it up. Well, for most of you that don't know me, I turned 50 last month. And I was just thinking to myself, it was as if, Ray, I don't smile too much. You're going to hit 50 pretty soon as well, if you're not there. Before you know it, you'll be. And I was just thinking quite a lot, thinking about how quickly it appears that my life has gone. I remember when I was 18, I was at uni. I remember my room at uni. I remember everything so clearly. And suddenly, it's like, man, I'm 50. And like, what's happened with my life? So one other thing as well for us is, as a pastor, I have a big responsibility towards us as well, towards everybody that is here. The Bible says in Hebrews that as a shepherd, I will give account for every single one that God brings to this church. So for me, when I think about church, it's a big deal to me. And there's sometimes that some people are, you know, some people will be like, oh man, why are you so, I mean, what's, relax, Pastor Benson, what's the big deal? Just, you know, take it easy. And I'm like, I'm going to take it easy, but there's a huge responsibility that I have towards you. And that responsibility, I believe, well, one of them is to awaken and to remind us often about the realities of life. Not just because I've turned 50 and all that, but about the realities of life. I'm a very reflective guy. I reflect a lot about you, the people in the church. I reflect about the children in the church, what God's saying about them. I reflect quite a lot. And that's because I know almost by firsthand what it is when one lives life and you do not live it to the fullest. And we're going to be looking at a number of things today around that, but I'm just trying to give us the background. And there are a few questions that I'm going to be asking us every week as we meet today, as we meet. I'm going to put it on our social media thing as well. So if you guys haven't subscribed to our Facebook or Instagram, we actually post there quite a bit. So these are like Instagram posts. So I want to ask us some questions that will form the basis of our conversation for this month. Now, the first one is this. Don't worry, these are like Instagram posts. I just put them together. It's like, oh man, why is Pastor Benson when I just put text there and all that. These are Instagram posts. I actually spend quite a lot of time doing that. So the first question, I've called them life questions. The first question is this. What do you want from life? As an individual, if you put aside all the limitations around you, if you put aside all the things, put aside your life as it is now, and you sit back and say, look, what do I really want from life? Not in some bits very serious, but some other bits. What do you really want? What would you really like? If you had three wishes, and those wishes were not subject to any form of limitations, what would your wish be? What would those things be that when you say, yes, this is what I really want, what is it that you want? The next question is this: what will give you the satisfaction that you've lived your life to the fullest? What will give you that satisfaction? The reason I'm asking this question is this. Well, not the reason, one of the main reasons. Maybe for those that are new, my wife passed about slightly over a year and a half ago. She was like my, apart from me, she was like my sister. I mean, I knew her since, I mean, I'd known her for a very long time. And then I used to make fun that, you know, you guys call me Pastor B, she calls me Pastor B, but there are times that maybe I do certain things and she calls me by my first name. And she calls it in a very specific way. And I'm like, man, this is trouble. And she told me that, you know, I knew you when you were a young guy. You're not Pastor anything, so this one. Now, the reason I'm going to this is this. You know, when she, just before she passed, I was with her in the hospital. It was a long story. You guys didn't meet my, a lot of you, some of you met her. She was like a real, what do they call that one? Woman of faith. And I sat down with her and we're talking. And the conversation went along these lines. It might sound a bit weird to us. She wasn't feeling well. So the conversation was like, okay, if Jesus doesn't walk into the room and heal you now, and you have to meet with him, how do you feel about that? And she began to reflect. And I began to reflect with her. I said, you know, you've done quite a lot of the things you wanted to do. We spoke about the children. She poured her life into them. She made sure she spent a lot of time, you know, so many things they will tell you. One thing she wanted to do, she wanted to open a business. And I remember when she came to me without thought, because we're like a dual income house, and I was an accountant, and I had all my budget to the T. Any spending had to be approved. And she now said, oh, sorry, she's not gonna work anymore in IT, that she's had it. And I said, what, you had what? How do you think we're gonna pay the bills? If you remove your income, it's gonna put us in red. And we had this conversation and she just threw it out and said, well, she's prayed about it and she thinks, you know, that's what God, you know, God's happy with it. And as pastor, you know, I had to oblige. But I grumbled quite a bit, like, okay, and all that stuff, you know, how are we gonna pay? But I'm happy she did that. That was something she wanted to do. And she made really good out of it. And she spoke about a lot of things. We also looked at our lives and we said, look, we've been a bit, you know, we've lived on the edge with regards to God. And we said, look, we've done together, I believe, all the things that God wanted us to do. God said we should, at one time we went to Gloucester because of all this preaching stuff from our church in London. We did. There was a time we went to Birmingham. We did this. God said we should move to Bristol. We uprooted our family and came to Bristol. And it was, so we looked at it and she reflected. And do you know what she told me? She said to me, Pastor B, I'm good. And I was like, if it was me that was facing uncertainty and there was a possibility that I would not be around in 3 days' time, would I be able to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm good. I've lived my life to the best of my ability. Everything I wanted to do, even though risky, I have achieved those things. So that's really stuck with me. So the question to you is, obviously you guys are gonna live till you're 100 and 120. I'm not saying you're gonna go anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere. I think hers was a bit different. So you guys are not going anywhere to like your 120. But the question I'm asking is this. What will give you that satisfaction? Really? The third question is this. How would you feel if at the end of your life, you don't have the sense that you have lived or done all you have dreamed about? What would that feeling be like? I was talking to someone over this period, a friend of mine. I've known them for ages and ages. And this gentleman began to tell me that, man, there were certain things that he wanted to do, but he's gone past that age now. And I said, look, you've gone past that age, so on and so forth, but you still have opportunities in this regard concerning this thing that you want. And I said, no, you have not passed the age. You can still do this thing, but in a slightly different way. And I saw in him regret. And I said, no, you don't have to regret. As long as you have breath, you can still make amends. Moses, at 40, committed a blunder. And he thought his life was over. He was in the backside just tending sheep. But God said, no. He waited till he was 80. And when God appeared to him and said, look, it's time. He said, God, it's too late now. I should have done it when I was younger. And God said, no. So the third question is that. How would you feel? When you're 100, when you're 120, and you look back and you have regret that, these are the things that I wanted to do. But for some reason, I didn't do them. How would you feel about that? Then the last question is, it's not just good enough to feel... I hope you guys don't say, man, every time I go to that church on a Sunday and I come back home, I feel so sober all the time, the way Pastor Benson just brings all these things. Don't worry, you don't have to feel sober. It's just to, really bring this to life for you and I. So the fourth question is this. What are you going to do about questions 1, 2, and 3? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to feel sorry for yourself? Are you going to just say, well, let it be as it will be? Like my friend told me a few days ago, I said, man, it's not going to be as it be, whatever. This is what you're going to do. We're going to make sure you achieve what you want to do. Keep me posted. I'll be praying. And there was a spark in his eyes. So this morning, these are the questions that I'm asking and that I'm going to be asking every week. Do you understand? Why? So that your life can be fulfilling to you. So that when it's time for you to check out, when you're 120, you can put your feet up and say, yes, I have done all the things that I wanted to do. Do you understand? So that's what I'm bringing to us this month. So, making the most out of life. Thanks, you can put our social media pictures off. You can put it back to them. Yeah. So, it's just time for us to really reflect. So I'm going to be looking at a number of things this morning, and we'll pray. Making the most out of life. So the first thing I want to look at is from Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16. Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16, I'll read. This is the first point. It says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So the first thing is, life is short. Life is short. And it says that life is like a flower. Is it flower or flower? Depends on if you're American. That it's there, it's beautiful, in your garden or on the path. And like, man, this is really nice. And you walk past a month later and it's gone. Nobody even remembers that it was there. The Bible tells us that's what life is like. So life is short. The second point I want to make this morning is this. The disciples of Jesus were following him, I mean, for about 3.5 years, and they asked him loads of questions. He taught them so many things. Some of the questions we ask ourselves as well. Some of the questions they asked was, what's going to happen to Israel? What's up with this political situation? Can you do something with the government so that they stop, you know, harassing us? Jesus said a number of things about that. They said, what must we do to do the works of God? What must I do as part of the church? Can I be a member of the choir and play guitar? Can I do this? Can I help people out there? How about my life, my kids, how can I make my life so, you know, to fulfill all the things I want to do? They asked him that question as well. And as I was looking through the Bible, I now realized that Jesus made a number of statements to answer those questions. But the answer that he gave was not really the answer that they were expecting. And I was like, is that the answer? Till I began to look deeper. It's like you're expecting Jesus is going to give them something groundbreaking. He's going to say, you know, guys, I went and I fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I'll split that in half, do 20. Once you've done that, you're good. Or do this, this, and that. They were expecting, they were like, Jesus, we've just heard Pastor Benson talk about life. We've rolled up our sleeves. When I go home, none of that thing, you know, none of that slacking anymore. I've rolled up my sleeve. Pastor Benson has inspired me. Now, Pastor Benson, what must I do? Tell me. Sorry, I've been a bit dramatic. I have to remember I'm in England. I'm not in America. And they were expecting, like, tell us. You know, I've got this list. Wake up. Exercise, study my Bible, do this. That guy that annoys me, I'll be nice to him, I've changed. Da 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 da, and you do the list. Tell us what it is. And they were asking Jesus the same thing. You know? What did Jesus say? Jesus said something to them in John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3. It says, and this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I was like, really? And he said, really? Life that is fulfilling is not really about the things we do. Although we do things, it's not really about the things we achieve, although we should strive to achieve. It is not really about the things we have or do not have, although we should make efforts to get the things we need. But in the eyes of God, the thing that gives us satisfaction, or that will give us that satisfaction we're looking for, is knowing God. What does that mean? The third point is this. Apostle Paul, this was a man in the Bible. God inspired him to write like 2/3 of the New Testament. This man went from country to country when there were no airplanes, shipwrecked. He was beaten several times. He was like an exceptional lawyer in his own time. Well known. And he said something in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost everything and I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. He goes on in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 to say, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So the third point is this. Paul realizes this and he says, reflecting, this was a man who had seen Jesus, who had seen everything. He had been taken to heaven in a vision. He was very well known. And he came to the conclusion as well that the only thing that can give me the satisfaction that I need is knowing Christ. Every other thing in context doesn't really compare. Now, am I saying we should be just super spiritual? No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, one, if we're really going to enjoy life, if we're really going to come to the point where every time we wake up, we're satisfied, he says it has to be knowing Christ. A long time ago, I referring to my late wife, I remember, I learned a lot of lessons then. And what I used to do, I still do, work like really hard. You know, do this, I'd say, dear, this is what I got for you, and all that. I was always in my study doing one thing or the other, and there was this and there was that. But I just noticed that my late wife was, at one point, she wasn't like really happy. I was like, what? Are you all right? What's wrong? Said nothing. Nothing. You know that nothing thing is, it speaks volumes. Nothing. All right, if you're not married, you know what that word means. Nothing. When someone says nothing, you need word of knowledge to interpret that thing. But I knew that was, so I just pressed on. And she finally opened up and said, look, Pastor B, I appreciate that you work hard. I appreciate that you go out of your way to, buy this for me, buy that for me, and all that. I appreciate all that. But what I want is you. That's all I want. And for me at that point, like, me, I'm here, what do you mean, me? She said, all I want is for you to sit down with me and just talk with me. So for me, it was a bit of a strange concept. You might be like, it was a strange concept. I was like, okay. Because as a guy, if I sit down and I'm having a conversation, there has to be a point to it. You know what I mean? There just has to be a point, But I now realize that, hang on, if I'm going to make this thing work, I need to really understand what's happening here. So I said, okay. That's exactly what I would do. And there were times that we would wake up, I'd wake up, maybe be busy during the day, take a nap. And from 8 in the night, I would sit down with her and we would talk till 2 in the morning. What were we talking about? I don't remember. I don't. All I knew was that that's what we did often. So what am I saying here? Why am I using this analogy? The same way with God. He says, look, I appreciate that you do all you do. You look after your kids. You do all these things. However, what really makes the most, what really cuts it for me, I'm paraphrasing, is I want you as an individual. God says he wants you. He wants you and I. He wants our attention. And as we do that, that is what will bring satisfaction to us as well. So we might be thinking, what does that mean? Shouldn't I be doing something for God? You should. Shouldn't I be doing X and Y in terms of my relationship with other people? You should. Shouldn't I be, I need to do, you should. However, the Bible is telling us, and he's saying, look, even though you're doing all those things, do not lose focus. The focus is you and I. And Jesus says, look, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Do you understand? And Jesus knows that is what will bring us satisfaction. Because it's an eternal relationship. Now, as a guy, it's a bit, I'm saying as a guy because I think our brains are wired. It's a bit difficult to understand that knowing someone, brother, what does that mean? It means as we spend time with God and as we prioritize God, something begins to happen to us that we have never experienced. Do you understand? So I've looked at three things. I said life is short. I've said Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life that we may know him. And I said Paul also realized this, Apostle Paul. And the fourth point, I have 5 points to make tonight. So the fourth question is, okay, fine. So I've said all these things about knowing God, but what's the practicality of it? How do I go about it? Do I sit down with God and say, God, okay, I'm here? There's other chat. You can do that. But there's a portion of scripture that sums everything up in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So Jesus begins to give us an inkling here as to how we can begin to know God, how we can get into the path of really experiencing God in our lives. It says, turn your heart, your soul, and your mind to God. It's just like if you have a friend. You guys are really good friends. How does one become your good friend? What constitutes good friendship? Well, you care about that person. You think about that person. Maybe you guys do stuff together as well. So it's not just a book relationship here. It's like your soul is focused on that person. Your mind is focused on that person. Do you understand? So that's where it starts. So the Bible is telling us this morning that it starts with us really fanning the desire in our hearts that I want to make knowing God my priority. How you do that might be different for me. For me, I just study the Bible quite a lot. I pray, I do all these things. But when I do that, it's not from a point of, okay, I need to take my Bible daily reading today so that I can pat myself on the back. No, it's God, what are you saying this morning to me? How are you doing? You know, how are you doing? And from there, it starts to unfold. So for me at the moment, not just because I've turned 50, I wake up in the morning and sometimes I'm so excited. Now, I'm not excited because of anything per se around me, you know, if I were to look at it, because there's so much going on around me, people I know, extended family and all this, that if I were to tell you guys all these things, you'd be like, Pastor, we're going to like really cry for you. So much. As a pastor, you know so much about people. So if I were to like start like, oh man, this person, I'd be like in tears. But I don't focus on that. I just let God, sort that out. But I focus on God. I focus on him, and it brings me to the point where I'm quite excited. At work sometimes, when we do all these Zoom calls, they'll be like, why are you so happy? Why are you so excited? I'm like, oh, not again. I'll just like try and tone it down a bit. And when I start talking as well, it's like, oh man, they actually love that. So I'm like, I'm excited about life. I'm telling you. Everything I'm involved in, I'm excited about. Church, I love church. I'm telling you, I love everything about church. In fact, if this were like Abel, I could be here all day if you guys are going to be here. And I'm good. I love talking to people. I love cars as well, by the way. It's true. I love cars. I love the guitar. I love my computer. Everything, you know, I just love everything. And I believe that the reason that it appears that I'm that way is because as much as I can, I really love God. And it springs from there. So God makes everything enjoyable for me. Do you understand? He makes everything, and I mean, no matter the circumstance, I'm telling you, I've been in like really dire circumstances that it's like, man, this is like really weird. But God even makes those enjoyables like an adventure for me. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that we may know the only true God. I'm going to end with a point here, my fifth point. Then after that, we'll pray and we'll take communion. So we've looked at the Bible and God says, look, the priority to the three questions is knowing him. Really focusing our hearts on him. That way he will inject joy into everything we do. So we'll be excited about everything. Even those things that seem not to be too palatable. So the fifth point is this. What is the greatest threat to knowing God? Apart from the devil, obviously. But let's leave that guy aside. What is the greatest threat? What can bring an individual to the point where at the end of their life, they regret, how I wish I had spent time doing or knowing God? What's the greatest threat? I'll show us what the greatest threat is. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The greatest threat is neglect. Nothing really overtly threatening. It's neglect. It's just like, for example, you have a friend. Let's say you're even married. Do you know you don't have to do anything major to your partner for it to unravel? Just neglect them. If they send you a text message, I'm not saying you should do this, by the way. I'm just using an example. If they send you a text message, ignore it. If they phone you, don't pick up the phone. When you get home, your partner is, before they get home, you lock yourself in the room. You don't see them for days. They phone you, just ignore them. You don't have to do anything. And what will happen? It will unravel. Now, I'm not saying you should do this. This is just you know, maybe someone hears the clip of this message on our website and like, Pastor Benzi said, no, put this in context, please. No. Neglect. So the greatest threat is neglect. Neglect is we just put God aside, we just say, look, I'll see you next week, God. The more we do that, the further away the relationship goes. The further away the relationship goes. And one wakes up in the morning one day and is like, man, my life is just not where it is. Do you understand? So I'm going to stop there this morning. I've looked at making the most of your life. And don't worry, it's not going to be this sober all the time. I've looked at 5 points. I've said life is short. Jesus said in the second point that life is knowing God. The third point I made was that Paul the Apostle realizes and he made this point. The fourth thing is that the journey of beginning to really have a fulfilled life and knowing God is focusing our hearts and our minds on him. And the fifth point I made is that the greatest threat is neglect. So this morning I just want us to pray. And I want us to pray because it's for any time this kind of conversation happens with my life. Maybe on my own, where God pulls me aside and says, Pastor B, you're getting too busy. You need to relax and spend time with me. I'm like, God, thank you so much for pulling my attention to this. So as we're saying these things this morning, God is drawing our attention to him. It's a privilege. I mean, this is God that has billions of people to look after, and he's knocking at your door this morning, and he's saying, look, it is you that I want. So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we rise. And what we want to do is just to pray and just say, God, this is where I am. I want my life to be fulfilled. I want a life that will be fulfilled. Help me to focus on you. Let me begin to experience your eternal life, even now. Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing. Father, we thank you that you care about us so much, that you are drawing our attention to these things this morning. Thank you that you want our hearts. Who are we? What do we have to offer? But still, you want us to really focus on you. We say thank you. And Father, I pray for everyone that is here, and even for those that are not here this morning, that as we begin to live our daily lives, that you will draw us to yourself. That as we continue in this life, you will help us to live lives that are fulfilled. Father, every aspiration, every dream that everyone here has, Father, help us to fulfill those things in Jesus' name. Father, for any regrets that we might have about certain things we might have wanted to do in the past, certain opportunities that we have missed, even though Moses had the same challenge, it was not too late for him. Father, I'm asking that you will bring those opportunities again before us. Help us, my Father, my King. Father, I thank you. I magnify your holy name. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name.